Good morning and welcome back to the next installment on the Christmas series, the birth of the Lord and his having become flesh and dwelling amongst us, as we revisit the account in the Bible, that the Lord would help us to see something that's even more encouraging. There are many Christians who have actually been influenced to not celebrate Christmas, or who have been influenced to think that, oh, you know, that's just a bunch of pagan stuff, and all they have done is commercialized it, and it didn't really happen in December anyway, and all of this stuff. I get it. I understand it. Okay, I'm not going to argue it nor try to justify it or anything. I will say this, though, about Christmas. It reminds me of what Paul said, that even though Christ is preached from motives that aren't correct, at least Christ is preached. So whether you agree with Christmas or not, or whether you celebrate it or not, as a Christian, at least it puts in the front of the eyes and even the ears and even the culture of our time that there was something there, that somebody was born, something happened. Who is this person that they're celebrating? Why? What's this all about? The hymns, all of those things. Now, I know that things have been gotten off track, just like with every so-called holiday, where they've attached other images or other customs to it. But the real issue is that Jesus was born, okay? I'm not going to go against what's happening in culture as far as the celebration of Christmas. I'm glad that it is celebrated. I like the time of the year. I think it's a neat time to reflect upon the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to argue about when he was born or what month or anything like that. I'm just really grateful that he was born. How about you? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, so much for the account of the birth of Jesus Christ in the Bible. Just like with anything, we have to filter through so many different things. And there's been so many comments and interpretations and even religious custom attached to Christmas time. Help us as true believers in the Bible to see the real story. It's real. You became flesh. You dwelt amongst us. You're coming again too. Help us, Lord, to see the lessons that we see here in your birth, because it is truly miraculous. It is truly astonishing. Help us to be encouraged in all of the principles that are revealed in the Word of God about this. Amen. So the king had to come through David, the king being the anointed chosen one. A king is a political office, okay? David was political. He wasn't of the priesthood. He was of the tribe of Judah. But we do know that the Messiah has to come through the tribe of Judah. Now, there's a lot about this that I'll try to comment on as we go through. In 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 13, it says this, "When thy days be fulfilled," this is speaking to David by God, telling him what's going to happen after he lives and dies. "When your days are fulfilled," that means when you've lived out your life and you die, "you will sleep with your fathers." The Bible refers to death as sleep for the believer. It is to say, it's not that you're going to sleep, but that you die. It's a nice way of saying that you died. When it says with thy fathers, it also means that if you're truly servant of God, you will be taken into the presence of God with those who've served God. "I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy own bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his throne, the throne of his kingdom, forever." Now we know there, therefore, that he's not talking about Solomon there. Yes, Solomon built a temple, but he didn't reign for the Lord forever. Indeed, at the end of his reign, he became disobedient to the Lord God. In Psalm 89, "I have sworn by my own holiness," this is God speaking in the first person, that's why I love the Bible so much, you don't find another book like this, "that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me." And again in Psalm 132, "The Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not turn from this. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne." So the king, the Messiah king, whose kingdom would never end, had to come from the line of David, okay? Very important. Why? Because it's only revealed in the Bible. It is not revealed in any other historical account. It's not revealed in any other so-called scripture. It is only revealed in the Bible, the book that God gave to his people since time of creation. Joseph had a family problem, however. Joseph was from the line of David, but there was a problem. How many of you have families that are questionable? We all come from dysfunctional families. There's alcoholism, there's failure, there's suicide, there's drugs, there's mental illness, there's all of the things that happened in any family. No one is exempt. Joseph had a problem with his family history. Way back in his family history, one of the ancestors of Joseph had done something that was so serious in his life against God that God pronounced a judgment upon him. So here's the judgment in Jeremiah 22. O land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. So God is appealing to the very earth as a witness. This is what the Lord says. Record this man being Jeconiah, who is the great-great-grandfather of Joseph, as if he were childless, even though he had children, a man who will not prosper in his lifetime, for none of his offspring will prosper, nor will sit on the throne. None of them will sit on the throne of David or rule anymore in Judah. Why that had happened, by the way, was when you read that account in Jeremiah, he had been given the word of the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah sent the scroll to him, and he took the scroll, cut it up with a knife, and threw it in his fireplace. So God sent to him a judgment, and that judgment was that he wouldn't have anyone to sit upon the throne. Now Joseph finds himself as the descendant of this man. So all of the Jewish people knew where they came from. And everyone knew that Joseph was one of the great, 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 great descendants of this king who did this thing. So he was never really going to have much influence or much. He wasn't in a place where he could be near power. His family line, by the time he was born, he was just a carpenter. No longer influential in Israeli politics or in leadership. He was just, if for all intents and purposes, from the viewpoint of the world, he was a nobody. But that's because the world only sees things from a worldly point of view. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. The Bible gives it to us black and white. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot in this. I've commented about this over the years. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ assures one thing: a sinless Savior. He had to be born of a virgin because he had to be sinless, because sin is passed through Adam, not through the woman. The woman, the promise made to her goes all the way back to Genesis. She was deceived. So sin, the sin nature, is actually passed through the male half of humanity to the subsequent generations. Jesus was born of a virgin. Therefore, the sin nature was not passed down to him. It's really an important theological discussion. Now, a lot of people will maybe write books about this and everything, but when you study it in the scriptures, it's very, very evident that the sin nature comes to us through Adam. Read the epistles of Paul for that lesson. Now, there's another thing here. Joseph was of this line that had this problem, that he had done this thing way back, hundreds of years before, against God. And because of that, Joseph was in that descendancy. And when he's in, engaged or betrothed, the word is betrothed, he's betrothed to Mary. Because the Jewish people in ancient history and in many cultures, families would get together and arrange marriages between their children, because that way they assured that there wouldn't be a marriage outside of the faith. So Mary was in a betrothal to Joseph, probably since she was a little girl and Joseph was a young boy. They didn't get married until they became adults in the culture. They had to first achieve adulthood and then they were allowed to be married, okay? Now, Joseph finds out that she's expecting. And it says here, very black and white, through the Holy Spirit. So Matthew doesn't make any apologies for it. He just says, she's pregnant, but she's pregnant because of the Holy Spirit. And you are expected as a believer in God to believe this without question. What is the virgin birth? In my background, the virgin became the focus instead of Jesus. The virgin became the focus where people began to lift the Virgin Mary up as the individual that we should worship and pray to. That is not biblical at all. If you're from a Catholic background and this is happening in your life, it is a problem. It will be a problem when you stand in front of God, because the real Mary, this Mary that we're reading about, when you meet her in glory, if you're saved and you get to really meet the real Mary, she'll never accept worship from you. She'll never let you kneel down in front of her, because a true servant of God doesn't let other humans or anyone else worship them in the place of God. She wouldn't allow it. The real Mary would not allow it. Okay. To be righteous is to be merciful. Remember this, because righteousness isn't just, I'm a good Christian, I do good things, I'm a good person, I treat people nice. Righteousness is deeper than that. It's more profound. It says here, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. This must have been a tremendous disappointment to him. It had to have been. He might have reasoned to himself, it doesn't say, but he might have reasoned to himself that, well, I guess that old curse on my great-great-great-grandfather has come down to me. Here I was betrothed, I found a woman, and it was hard for me to find a woman because they all know that I came from this line, and I got a woman, and I was going to get married, and now, look, she's pregnant, and I know it wasn't me, so what am I going to do? It says here he was righteous. This is in contrast to his great-great-great-grandfather, Jeconiah, who didn't obey the word of God, who didn't listen to the word of God. Joseph is listening to the word of God. He does want to do things rightly. Now, rightly, in the scriptures, you were allowed legally to take a person who has come up like the way Mary did, pregnant out of wedlock, and you were allowed by the Mosaic law to have her stoned to death. He doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want to expose her to public disgrace. That is to say, he could out her. He could go to the leadership at the synagogue and the culture at the time, and he could defend his own honor and say, it wasn't me, it was her, I didn't do it, she's pregnant, it's not me. He could have made a big deal out of this. When you know something that has happened to somebody, or they have fallen into error or sin or made a big social mistake, will you use that information for your own personal advancement? A lot of people do that today in our culture. They find out the dirty scoop on so-and-so, and then they sell it to a news outlet or whatever, and they make money off of it, and they thrive on this. There's something evil about that. Evil. It's evil because you're no better. No human being is exempt from sin. The Bible declares all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No human being is exempt from sin. But yet we have so many people who use information that they find out about somebody, even somebody close to them. They use it for their own personal advancement. If you're that kind of person, I don't want to know you. I really don't. What I mean by that is, until you're repentant of your sin and you're willing to face the kind of a person that thinks that way in front of God, and you repent of it and turn, then I'll talk to you. But if you're that way now, I think that that's a despicable kind of person. And it's being pointed out here that Joseph was righteous, and he's righteous because he doesn't want to use the information to justify himself publicly. He's not going to do that. And he's going to try to do this quietly. And I think that's really laudable, and that we should all try to get to this place in our life where even though you may know the dirty scoop on somebody, that doesn't give you the right to use it and to use it for some kind of notoriety. Be careful, because if you become notorious for that, then you'll always be known for that. Direction comes when mercy is seen. When God sees how you and I live, how you and I think, and how you and I react, God sees it all, remember. There is nothing hidden from his sight, the Bible says. The motives of men's hearts, it says in the scriptures, are before him. So he sees us. He knows what we think and how we think. So this is one of the reasons that this story in the Bible, and it's not a story, it's a factual account, this is why it's being emphasized. It's to help the people of God to see this. We all need to be like this. Watch. After he had considered this, considered what? Quietly dealing with the problem. It's a problem. Mary's pregnant. He knows it's not him. He's righteous before God. He doesn't feel that he can marry her because obviously, humanly speaking, she got pregnant by somebody else, and he doesn't want to violate the commands of the Lord and marry somebody who has done this. But he doesn't want to, at the same time, use the information to destroy her. God sees this in him. So watch. He had considered this. So an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Ah, so now here's the answer. Why is she pregnant? Because God has supernaturally caused this pregnancy to happen. God does have to supernaturally intervene in the life of Joseph, because Joseph, this has never, ever happened in human history. Never in human history, even Adam and Eve were conceived supernaturally like this. Okay, no one, ever. And so the explanation has to come from God so that the people involved can understand what to do. Okay, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. Why does it say be afraid? Because he knew that if he took her as his wife, everybody would gossip about it. And what would they gossip about? Joseph and Mary couldn't wait. And that's why they had to get married quick. Who knows exactly what the total fear of it was. Maybe there was also fear as a true righteous man before God that, look, I'm trying to follow your ways, God. And if I marry her, what if she goes and does this again? He may have had fear for all kinds of reasons. Fear of social disgrace, fear of her not being faithful, because it appears humanly that she wasn't faithful in the betrothal. But the angel tells him, don't be afraid. Angels always say this, don't be afraid. Don't. If they're truly from God, they will always say, don't be afraid. So he gives him the reason. The conception of Jesus Christ is from the Holy Spirit. So direction comes when God sees mercy in you. When he sees that you really are a merciful, forgiving, patient, don't want to make a scandal kind of person, God will help you. But if you are the person that loves to thrive on this stuff, you're going to find yourself even against God. The curse of sin is dealt with in the arrival of the Lord. The curse of sin, not just the curse on his great-great-great-grandfather, but the curse of sin of all humanity is dealt with. So the angel, these words are coming from an extraterrestrial source. Have we received communications from an extraterrestrial source? Yes, we have. It's in the Bible. It's recorded for us. We don't need to put up an array of satellite dishes like they've done down here in southern New Mexico, or send out spacecraft to send out radio signals to see if somebody's listening. God sent a message to us from outside of the very seen universe. This comes from heaven, the spirit realm. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. You, Joseph, are to give him this name, Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I have got to share something with you about the name Jesus, because I learned something new this week about this. The name Jesus is all over the Bible, even the Old Testament. For the longest time, I thought Jesus was simply the Greek translation of the Hebrew name Joshua. And this is true to some degree. But the name Jesus in original Hebrew, remember, this angel is speaking to Joseph, who is a Jew, who speaks Aramaic, which is a derivation of ancient Hebrew. The word Jesus in the Hebrew language means salvation. It actually literally means salvation, though the name Joshua means Yahweh saves. So you, Joseph, will give him the name Savior because he will save his people from their sins. Not just deliver you from the sin of your great-great-grandfather, but all people. He'll save them from sin because that's what the promise of Messiah was all about, that he would remove sin from us. And Joseph was a product of a family line where that sin had become so intense that he probably felt it. So the curse of sin is dealt with the arrival of the Lord. And there's something merciful in this as well. Joseph was not allowed to sit on the throne, but he was allowed by God's sovereignty to have an influence on the child who would sit on the throne, who will sit on the throne of God forever. That's an amazing thing to see. Now, Christmas was God's plan all along. The Bible says, from the foundations of the earth, Christ was slain. Christmas, the coming of Jesus Christ, his birth, was the plan of God from eternity. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God always planned this. So therefore, the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ isn't something that we should just ignore or say that it's pagan. It is the plan of God since eternity past. We should celebrate his birth because his birth is the hope for eternity. And if we can't celebrate that, then we might as well go home. Obedience allows his blessings to follow. So Joseph wakes up. He has this dream, and this dream is so intense, he knows it's from God. So he wakes up, and he does what the angel had commanded him. So he knows that it's more than just a dream. What was that all about? He knows this was real. An angel told him. And lo and behold, there might have been a lot of joy in this too, because anyone who wants to get married and find somebody to marry, there's a tremendous sense of, wow, somebody loves me, somebody wants to live with me, somebody wants to be my spouse. Wow. And Joseph wakes up and there's that sense of great relief. And he does what this angel says, probably with a lot of happiness, and he takes her home as his wife. He doesn't care what anyone is going to say. He understands now that Mary is not faithless, that Mary is trustworthy. Mary is a virgin, and what is happening to her has to do with the plan of God. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So that means simply that he did not have physical consummation of the marriage until after Jesus was born. And we know that they had physical consummation because Jesus' brothers and sisters are mentioned in the Gospels. So they had children the normal way after the birth of Christ. But before the birth of Christ, Joseph controlled himself and waited until Jesus was born. Obedience allows God's blessings to follow. If you want God to bless you, you must follow his word. You must obey him. You must do what he says. Once you begin to do what God says in life, it's not about what everyone else is saying and what society is saying and what government and courts are saying. Your life is between you and God, ultimately. What you do is between you and God. If you decide, okay, God, I'm going to do life the way you're asking me to do it. I don't care if everyone else thinks that I'm a loony toony. I'm going to live the way you want me to live. Come what may, I will live the way God wants me to live. Like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How about you? Are you there? Let's stand together and let's pray. Thank you, Lord, so much for the account of Joseph and how you told him about what was happening. That account is for our sake as well. You have not left us here on this world to wonder what it's all about and to question why I'm in trouble because my great-great-great-grandpa was such a bad person or my family is so dysfunctional and messed up. You have given us the answers. The answers are here in the Bible. It doesn't matter where we've come from or what has happened or what we have done. You are able to deal with sin, and you have dealt with sin by sending the Son of God, and He will deliver us from our sins. His very name means salvation from sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for what you have done for us. And now in Jesus' name, Lord, as we also take up our offering, we pray that you will bless the giver and bless the gift. Help us to continue to be faithful to you to the end of our days. Amen.